Today on Real Radio.
You see that in your Bible, verse 6? If we say, look at verse 7. If what? We walk. Look at verse 8. If we say. Verse 9. If we confess. Verse 10. If we say. You kind of get a point here he's trying to make very quick.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the first New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. In verses 5 through 7 of this first chapter, interestingly enough, the apostle makes known that he and the others were eyewitnesses, essentially using similar language found in his gospel, that Jesus is the light, and we believers are to walk in that light and will therefore have fellowship with our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called Fellowship with God.
So in a very positive way, he says in verse 5 that God is light. And the word literally means all of the light that there is, both in the soul realm of the heart and the intellect, to the light that shines forth from the sun or from a light bulb. And of course, actually and ultimately, he is in this attribute, light himself. You know, the Bible says that God dwells in unapproachable light. Unapproachable. I don't understand that. Remember when God tucked Moses into the rock and passed by? God told Moses, you'll see me, but you'll see me after I've gone by. You'll see where I've been. He didn't even get to see him. He saw afterglow of him. It would have killed Moses to see God like that. It would kill us to see God like that. Yet Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When we die or when we get raptured and we get into the presence of the Lord, I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I just believe it, that we will be able to see God in his totality, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I don't understand it, but we're going to see him. And it will make perfect sense then. All of that will make sense. It's an amazing thing. In Psalm 27, verse 1, the scripture says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, 1 Timothy 6, 16, it says, God, who alone is immortal, he dwells in unapproachable lights. Interesting. Satan desires to what? To be a counterfeiter, a copycat. What is one of the attributes of God that he wants to copy? Light. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2, 4, that the Antichrist, the counterfeit, when he comes, he will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, that's going to be in Jerusalem, showing himself that he is God. Now think about this for a minute, prophetically. That's going to happen. The Bible says in Jerusalem they're going to build a temple and the Antichrist is going to declare himself to be God. That's going to be a tremendous moment. Jesus says in Matthew 24, beginning at verse 15, when you see that abomination, flee. He speaks to the Jewish people in that chapter and he says to them, run and flee. Listen, but if you're a Jew and those many Jews, there'll be many people of the world also that will be deceived at that time. When they see the Antichrist do his thing and this erecting of the temple and the displaying of himself as God, if you're of a Jewish understanding, one of the things that you're going to look for is for that temple to be illuminated by the power of God, though it will be deceptive power. It won't be the power of God. That temple that's to be built in Jerusalem will be a place for artificial satanic light. The Antichrist will display himself to be God. But if you're Jewish and you know the scripture, remember, he's come to deceive and destroy the Jews. If you're Jewish, one of the tricks that Satan's going to want to pull over their eyes or your eyes, if you're Jewish during that tribulation period of time, is to cause some sort of a lighted, deceptive act. Because if they erect a temple believing in God and preparing to sacrifice unto God, they know what the Bible teaches. For example, in 1 Kings chapter 8, it talks there that when Solomon's temple was completed, that the priests couldn't even go inside because God, I think, rather in a cute way, ran, so to speak, inside the temple and filled it up with himself. His glory got so great that the priests couldn't even come inside the temple. It was like, well, I'm trying. I can't get in there. The glory of God is huge. He's in there. And that has been passed down from generation to generation, that when the Jews built their temple and Solomon was there and everybody was arrayed and their apparel and getting ready to make great celebration, God over the Holy of Holies illuminated. And if you are a person that's living during that tribulation period, if you're deceived by the Antichrist, you would be looking for that great illuminating power. And I believe Satan is going to, and I believe this is the ultimate fulfillment of the verse, when it says there in the scripture that Satan and his workers have the power and the ability to what? Transform themselves into angels of what? Light. I believe that that is a prophetic verse, not only current now, but it is futuristic as well. I believe that Satan is going to fill that temple of light during the tribulation period to deceive the Jewish people. Why? Because he tries to mimic all that God is, but he can't do it. I would love, wouldn't it be great for him to just go, and there comes the light, and he's glowing, and then it just poops out. Our God just goes, that would be great. And that's going to happen, by the way, with the breath, it says, of Jesus' mouth when he comes back. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that's the passage of Scripture where it says that Satan has deceitful workers among his people who appear as angels of light, in that they are messengers of God and workers of God and all. And so we have to be careful. But then also there's a negative to this, and this is interesting. Look at verse 5. This is really technical stuff, but it's good for us. It's good for us to know. He says here in verse 5 that this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The positive is that God is light, but watch this. There's what's called in the Greek here a double negative. A double negative meaning this, that there is no, none darkness in God. It's hard for us in English to say. No, none darkness in God. We would maybe say, no, 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 no. There's no, no, no darkness in God. No, none darkness. It's a double negative in the Greek. To make the point, John is saying God is so pure, he's so holy, he is so light that there's not even a speck of darkness in him. He's so holy. And this is great. I mean, he's stressing it. I would love to hear him say this in his Jewish New York accent. And in him is no, none darkness at all. James 1:17 tells us, every good and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And comes down from the Father of lights. Meaning all the represented lights or light, the origin of God who is light himself. By the way, it goes on to say, in James, in whom, that is him, God, there is no variation or shadow of turning. In Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 13, this is a powerful verse. It says that God's eyes are so pure that they cannot behold evil, nor can God look upon wickedness. A lot of scholars believe that, remember when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's quoting Psalm 22. It is believed in that moment that the Father, in fulfillment of 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21, that tells us that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things have passed away, all things come new. And that he who knew, verse 21, no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And it is believed that when God laid on Jesus Christ the sins of us all, It is believed by many scholars that when Jesus cried out Psalm 22, that it was the Father turning his face away from looking upon his Son who was bearing up under the heap of mankind's evil. Isn't that amazing? Do you know that right now, tonight, your sin was judged at the cross of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago? Well, Jack, if my sin was judged on the cross 2,000 years ago, why am I having such a hard time today with sin? You've become a new creation in Christ, but this old body that we take care of and pamper and put lotion on, or I should have put lotion on, this body of ours is of this world. I know we're rather fond of ourselves, and we take care of ourselves, but this thing's going to pass away. This thing's fading. It's of the old economy, friend, and that economy's bankrupt. That economy's broke. It went belly up when Adam and Eve sinned, though you and I weren't even born yet. We were born losers. We were born sinners. Don't say that. I just had a little baby, and it's so innocent. It's innocent in its actions. It's a little rotten sinner that hasn't had a chance to express himself yet. It's true. It's true. They're so cute. They're so cute. But thank God that little babies have really poor motor skills. Can you imagine if you've ever had a 12, 13, 14-month-old? Can you imagine if they could go and load a shotgun and point it at you? You know, they're so emotionally led and guided that that little 14-month-old would blow you up about 10 times a day if they could. Thank God they can't find their nose to pick it, you know? They're so clumsy. But inside of them, there's this thing, and you don't teach your child. Your child, they don't grow up in your home, and you go, now listen, sweetheart, this is how we steal cookies, okay? When I'm not looking, this is what you do. You don't tell them that. The little stinkers, they know how to do that all automatically. You don't have to say, now this is how we tell a really good lie. No, they can lie. Like Grandpa, you know? I mean, all those years of experience. That little guy comes out, he can tell a lie. Did you get in the cookie jar? No. Or did you break the window? What window? That's that sin nature. We have that. Now, I know kids are cute. Your kid's cute. But we're fallen. And we contend with this every day. We fight with it. We want to walk in the light. We do walk in the light. If we have fellowship with him, there's this continuity that takes place as we walk with God, with him, we walk in the light, we have fellowship. We'll get to that in a moment. But keep this in mind, that Jesus took upon himself all of our sins, and this is an amazing thing. In good theology, he took your sin, my sin, before we were ever born. He took all the sins that you and I have committed. He took today's sins. I don't grasp it. Nobody quite does. But he took all of our future sins. He paid for them on the cross. And a Christian will say, oh, Lord, that is so awesome. If that be the case, then cause me to walk with you. And a non-Christian who thinks they're a Christian will say, he paid for all of our sins? Even the ones that are in ahead of us? Cool. Well, then I'm going to go live it up. And a real Christian can't think like that. The Holy Spirit will say, eh. Can't think like that. Can't do that. And so Jesus paid that price ultimately and given himself for us. Well, again, we'll touch more about that in just a bit. The second thing that we see tonight is in verse 6 regarding our fellowship with God, and that is breaking our fellowship with God has its consequences. That breaking our fellowship with God has its consequences. And they can be grievous. And remember, 1 John is written to the believer. Remember this, the believer that's being spoken to here in verse 6. If we say, you see that in your Bible, verse 6? If we say, look at verse 7. If what? We walk. Look at verse 8. If we say, verse 9. If we confess, verse 10. If we say. You kind of get a point here he's trying to make very clear. is that we have to be careful that if we claim to be Christians, that we strive to walk with God. And so he's talking to us in verse 6 about fellowship broken. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with God, this is what we're saying. And by the way, in the Greek, the word means if we say that we have fellowship with God, it might be true, the word means, or it might be false. It's an open-ended. If we say, and it's like a drum crescendo, but there's no psh. It's the statement, but there's no conclusion. It's open-ended. If we say, and here's what John inserts. If we say that we have fellowship with God, I talk with God, God talks with me, we are on the same page. That is a perfect, simple definition of what he's talking about. We're on the same page, God and I. Yes, he's turned to that page. Yes, he reads the message to me, but we're on the same page. We're together. So are we together on the same page? Are you personally, the page that God's on, are you walking with God? Are you on the page that he's on in your private life? That's the question that John's asking. Very important because it has to do with our fellowship and our profession of fellowship. Our profession. You ought to jot that down because I'm really excited. I got three P's to give you in this under this heading here. Regarding our breaking of fellowship with God, it has its consequences. The first P is our profession of fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that is to say, I know God or I'm a Christian. It's an exclusive claim. The moment someone says, which is 1 John 1:6, I have fellowship with God. Or we could say today, you could sum it up quickly and say, I'm a Christian. As a Christian, I am to have fellowship with God. That's why and that's how I'm a Christian. I have fellowship with him. Immediately, that declaration puts us in an exclusive group of people. Those who walk with God. It's very, very powerful. To say that you have fellowship with God, by the way, is to announce that you are in agreement with God. That's a beautiful definition. To say that you have fellowship with God is to say that you're in agreement with God. Is there something going on in your life where you read the Bible and you say, I like all 10 of these verses, but you know what? That first one of chapter 2 really bugs me. I'm going to jump over that one. That is a dangerous place. That is a scary thing to start doing. We begin to pick and choose about what's comfortable. Why? Why would we do that? Because our fellowship with God is not intact. We begin to pick and choose what's working in our lives in the Word of God and what's not going to be working in our lives regarding the Word of God. Rather than being in that camp of walking with the Lord, we begin to manipulate. That's not good. It can lead to grave consequences. In Genesis 5, verse 22, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. That's Genesis 5, 22. In Genesis 6, 9, the Bible says that the generation of Noah, that he was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Was Noah sinless? No. Interesting, though, is any of Noah's sins mentioned in the Bible? Isn't that neat? No, none. I like that. God just doesn't, he's just not into picking on sin. He saw Noah's heart. Noah's heart. I said heart. I almost said Noah's ark. Noah's ark and heart was for the Lord. But he wasn't sinless. Doesn't that help you? It helps me. People want you to be sinless. Don't your family members want you to be sinless? You notice that, like at Christmas or holidays? Or thought you were a Christian. You know? Hey! They watch you like a hawk, you know. Somebody was telling me before they were in a family setting and everything was just going crazy. And the guy was really trying to pray for the meal and get everything under control. And nobody would listen to him and stuff. And he wanted to say, "Will you just, everybody just be quiet? And let's pray." And someone had told him, "What? Bro, man, you yell at us. Better go to confession." And, you know, that just, it's like, you know, you don't need to be reminded of that. You deal with that every day, the flesh, the struggle, and the spirit. And hear the prodding of the world, or the prodding of the non-believer to the believer and against the believer. To walk in the light, it's not easy. It's difficult. It's hard. Some of you, I'm looking around right now, there's some of you that are going, you've made a stand, you're standing for the Lord, and you're really getting hit by your school associates or your professional associates that are around you. They're really hitting you hard because you said, "I'm going to make this department stand for Christ. We're going to have integrity." And man, are you getting it. They're turning up the heat, trying to find something to get you out now of that leadership position in companies. Had a man talk to me last Sunday. "Pray for me, Pastor Jack. I made a stand in this governmental agency, and man, have they come after me." And just the vengeance that they're directing on the person of Jesus Christ, and they're laying it on this man. All because God promoted him, and he said, "This is what we're going to do." And if you were the owner, or if you were the operator of that area, you'd say, "Yeah, let's have people. Let's have people that are integrity and of heart and want to do this." And it just doesn't work that way. Sad to say, this world is so corrupt. But are we going to walk with God? Yes, we have to be on the same page with him. Yes, we have to confess the profession of knowing him if we truly do know him and walk in the light with him. And the Holy Spirit will give us the power to do that thing if we'll just give God the chance. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you're struggling, you don't have to be a super saint to be on God's list of those lifestyles of the righteous and faithful. I mean, if you look at that list in Hebrews chapter 11, God chooses to point out all of the good that these people operated in faith and deleted and left out any of their bad.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, taking us through the first letter to the believers written by the Apostle John. Fellowship with God, that's the title of what we heard today, and it focuses on chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series that delves into the three scriptural letters written by, well, one of the closest friends of Jesus himself. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, you heard Pastor Jack deliver three very important messages. They're timely, and they're key for our times. The three titles, Instability in the Middle East, The 21st Century Christian, and Bible Prophecy 101. Well, those were Pastor Jack's contribution to our recent Awaken Prophecy Month series, which also included Jay Smith, Mark Hitchcock, and Charlie Campbell. Now, we're offering that entire conference all on one USB drive for your contribution of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. We just want to get it into your hands. It was a great conference. Now, you're going to get both the MP3 files and the MP4 video files. So I'll say it again for you. The entire Awaken Prophecy Month series with Jay Smith, Mark Hitchcock, Charlie Campbell, and Jack Hibbs, all on one USB drive. Now, that includes all the MP3s and the MP4 video files. You can use them on your computer, your mobile device, whatever you'd like. All we ask is for your contribution of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. See, we really do want to get this in your hands. Call, click, or write. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the button in the middle of the page there that says Special Offer. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Now, if you'd like to send in your gift, our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ
and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.